Hello, and welcome to another episode of Non-Productive. I am your host, Al, and I am in studio with Big Papa Pete.
Yo.
Pope.
Howdy.
And Naders.
Hi.
We are bringing you the second podcast about our MV Pride.
Alphonse just died.
Where we are bringing some of the greatest characters of Pride together to battle in a round-robin competition to see who is the champion. Who is the most prideful?
Who's your favorite?
Exactly that.
Yes, that is our goal.
Sports ball. Touch pass.
Nice. But anyway, we are here to talk to you about our post-2000s group and the nominees that got accepted into the competition.
Now, before we do that, I think we should thank everybody who voted in round one,
yep,
which was the characters from pre-2000.
Thank you so much.
Yes, it was really exciting. I can't wait to share the results with all of you, but we are not going to do that this week.
Thanks for voting for my son, but you'll find out next week whether he won.
Right. Okay.
I don't know why that was so confusing.
Don't worry about it. We are keeping the results under wraps so as not to contaminate the voting pool for this round.
It's a secret.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
But after this round and after all the voting and a winner selected from this one, we will tell you who has won in the pre-2000s group and the post-2000s group.
And then they'll duke it out.
They'll vote. They'll fight it out in the finals.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It will be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Super.
So let's go over some of the nominees that we actually have here.
I'm so excited about our top nominated nominee here in this section.
Yeah, actually, and the character that has had the most nominations put in for them.
Yeah, it is Kara Dreamer from Undertale, my beautiful baby, whom I love and raised myself all by myself.
Oh, did you make Undertale? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I did. Wow, my name is Toby Fox. I am a fox. I'm a dog. No, I'm not.
Some statements may be lies.
God, I wish. I love Kara. They're my favorite character from that game. Maybe my favorite character of all. I don't know. I love them a lot. But Kara Dreamer is non-binary, and I just love them. They're great. They're the best.
I have to agree. I played Undertale. The reveal of Kara within that story arc, which I won't do any spoilers for anyone that hasn't played the game, is fascinating. The character is great because it's a protagonist we don't often have. We often do have sort of choose-your-own protagonist type of characters or assigned characters of one kind or another. But Toby Fox felt that this was a time to give a non-binary character their time of day.
It was really powerful.
Yeah.
You can read my article on Kara and Frisk on non-productive.com.
Yep.
And it is just, it was a really powerful character. You start the game kind of thinking that they're a sort of, you know, your player character is a sort of generic kind of you character that you're filling in. And there's a dramatic reveal at the end that you are controlling a person with their own thoughts and feelings and a person who has a name and an identity, and that character is non-binary and goes exclusively by gender-neutral words and pronouns, and they're awesome and I love them. And Kara is such a multifaceted character with so much depth and an intriguing character narrative. It's so great. It's just so powerful and emotional for me every time I think back.
And I would say there's a lot of characters from the Pride community in there, actually. We did go with Kara because they got the most nominations. But
By far,
yes. But I want to say, like, I appreciate what Toby Fox did. I appreciate the video game he put out there, not only because of its quality, but because of its representation.
Such a fun game, and also a game with great inspiration and just great characters. Good stuff. Good stuff right there.
Good stuff.
Who's our next one up?
Our next one up is Loop Taco from The Adventure Zone.
Ah. I love Loop.
What is The Adventure Zone?
Now, The Adventure Zone is a podcast that we don't make, but made by the McElroy brothers from the Maximum Fun Network. And Adventure Zone is a D&D podcast. A couple of guys running around doing Dungeons and Dragons.
By the way, you're welcome, guys, for the free publicity.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. Now,
how about giving a shout out to non-productive.com and the, you know, all the other shows and associated networks they're in.
For your one half listener that you just gained because we gave a shout out to you.
There you go. Exactly.
I love you, Griffin.
Just saying.
Where were we?
Go ahead.
Loop Taco. Now, one of the main...
Now, Loop Taco is one of the main characters?
No. One of the main characters is Taco Taco, whose quest it is to invent the taco. He is an elf. He is gay. He steals everything he can, and I love him.
But he didn't make it.
No, he didn't. He got up. He got quite up there, but we did end up deciding to try to vary things up and choose only the most voted character from each franchise.
Yeah.
So
just
Taco,
to keep things fair, give us a spread.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Taco was definitely up there, but at the end, it was Loop that won out, and Loop is actually Taco's twin sister, who is a trans woman. So they are identical twins, but she is a girl, and she's hilarious, and I love her. Absolute favorite moment is when she finds a machine gun underground and she yells, "Taco, count the shells!" and then just begins wildly shooting into the ceiling with a machine gun, having never seen a gun before in her life, and just laughs maniacally. I love her. She is amazing.
So, women and machine guns. I'm gonna go ahead and say those are probably two of the best things that taste great and go and, you know,
I have no idea where you're going with this. That is the most baffling statement anyone has ever made. Do you eat women and machine guns?
Wait a minute.
This is not that kind of podcast.
No. Let's... I'm calling you out on that because didn't you earlier in our pre-production mention that you just went to see the new Transformers movie?
Yeah, I did.
And you still think that's the most baffling statement anyone's
ever
made?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what that movie was about, but it was really long.
Okay.
Let me rephrase.
So I'll continue with machine guns and women.
Continue.
Because it actually makes sense when compared to
Transformers.
I would
like to see you eat a machine gun, please.
Two great tastes that taste great together. That's what I meant to say. Excuse me.
I still don't know what that means.
Well, you're stuck on taste being like something you eat, but taste is a multifaceted word. You could use it in multiple ways.
Avance, go to the corner. Like, stop eating women.
Nate.
Whoa.
No cannibalism. No war.
Nate, what Al is doing is referencing a very, very old commercial for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I'm 3 years old and I don't know anything.
I know. I'm explaining. That's why I'm explaining. Because
I'll kill you.
Because they used to talk about peanut butter and chocolate being two great tastes that go great together. Because
Alphonse,
when
that was a little
sold,
obscure.
Because no,
you did just imply that you ate women and machine guns.
People over three got that. But
so, yeah, that would be Loop Taco, who is just fantastic. Love her. Absolutely just the best.
Yep.
Who's up next?
Garnet from Steven Universe. I'm going to go ahead and say I really... This is interesting for me because at first when I started watching this show, and Steven Universe is a show that's about a boy named Steven... Who
is the universe?
Well, in a way, yes. Not at all, actually. I'm just joking. But anyway.
Just in the world of the show.
He's being raised by these three kind of superheroes, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Who are call themselves
no,
the Crystal Gems.
No, they're superheroes. They're definitely qualified as superheroes. They have superpowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They save the world.
Yeah, I mean, but if you ask them, I don't think they would call them.
They don't know what that is.
Right, exactly. And Garnet was one of the characters. And at first, I'll be honest, I hated this character.
What?
I did. I absolutely...
Let's hear him out.
I absolutely despise his character because I felt like, my God, they just don't do anything wrong. And they're just... I'm really upset because they're flawless
somebody hold
character.
Name back.
And
flawless I, character, yes.
Yeah,
go ahead,
and
Al.
And it was just... It was boring. And it was... And then we got to one episode where it's revealed that Garnet isn't just Garnet. Garnet is actually two characters, two different characters that are fused together. Now, that was something they had brought up in the show, that gems could fuse together, like these crystal gems. But we had no idea that Garnet was actually just two people together the whole time. That was just
There was a lot of implications about it. There was a lot of theories because they have a door, like in their temple, which has one of their gems on each of it. And Garnet actually has two gems and nobody else has two gems.
Yep.
And everybody was like, what if she's actually two people together? And everybody was like, that's a conspiracy theory. That would never happen. And then it's revealed that...
Oh, no, you guessed it.
Yep.
You nailed it. Garnet, secretly the whole time, is one lesbian made out of two smaller lesbians.
But in a very strange way, that
to make
was
a super mega lesbian?
Super mega ultra lesbian. Imagine a mecha piloted by two small lesbians, and it's just one giant lesbian that's really good at punching.
And sings Elvira all the time.
She's great.
I mean...
Sorry, that's a Family Guy reference.
Yeah, I guess so. But at any point, Rain, I do feel like... that was such an impactful moment for me because it turned me completely 180 on the character because it wasn't a perfect person. It was two very flawed characters who we got to meet and interact with, that when together, they made something that was almost flawless. Their relationship was what made them better. They bettered themselves by being together. And it justified the character to me in a completely new way, where I was like, oh, no, it's not that this character's flawless. It's just that this is, like, this is a relationship. This isn't just a person. This is the representation of that relationship. And the, like, even when the character eventually does have, like, trials and tribulations they have to go through, it feels more impactful because you know they're not technically alone. They're not facing it by themselves. It's always that relationship having to face those trials and the advantages that come from that.
And also, she sings a freaking amazing song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. Stronger Than You is so good.
It's very good.
Oh my God. It just makes me want to punch someone every time I hear it. It's so good.
Yep.
So our next character is Tracer from Overwatch, also known as Lena Oxton.
Ah, I love Overwatch. I'm playing it all the time. I can't stop.
Tell us about it.
Well, Tracer is a character, is one of the player characters. She's an attack character that you can play as, and she's got, like, time dysfunction where she was, like, part of an experiment, and she got thrown through time, so she can't stay in one point. She will vanish and reappear decades later, but she got built this thing that goes on her chest so that she can stay, like, in time, but she can activate it to jump, like, around in time, so she can zip forward and like regain health by zipping back, and use her to just run around and shoot stuff.
Can she throw time?
Explain.
Can she literally take time and throw it?
Like a
I don't
clock?
Think so. Oh. No. Okay. She can throw a bomb if that's what you're thinking. No, I'm just
can the bomb have a clock on it?
Yes, it does tick.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So she can
Nailed
throw
it.
Time.
She can throws throw that time. Time.
There we go.
All right.
So. Oh.
I know something.
What?
Tracer is British.
She is British.
Hey!
You nailed it!
I know a thing.
So Tracer is a very popular character because she's actually like the title character sort of Overwatch. She's the one that they put on all the signs. She's the big character in the Blizzard office. They have like a 50-foot statue of her now. It's huge. She is like the character that they put on all the advertisements. So it was a really big deal back around Christmas when they released the Christmas comic book for like Overwatch, and they had a bunch of characters doing a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
And they revealed that Tracer has a girlfriend and is a lesbian. So love her. She is great. I can't play her for crap. I'm actually like a terrible, terrible Tracer, which is tragic, like utterly tragic. But,
because all of us want to throw time and be a lesbian.
I just want to throw bombs at people and zip around and be impossible to hit. God, she's so annoying. I hate her. I hate playing against her, but I love her as a person.
And I'd just like to say I'm against objectification in all forms, but, she looks good in the tight pants.
She does wear very tight pants. She's very futch, but,
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Oh, no, I think I get it. It's like...
She's in the middle of the femme-butch scale.
Yeah.
With lesbians, you have femme-lesbians and butch-lesbians. And Tracer is a hard futch.
A hard futch.
A hard futch.
A hard middle.
Zarya is a butch, and Tracer is a futch.
Right.
I call shenanigans. Anyway.
I'm gay. Let's move along.
Next character.
Oh. Go ahead. I'm gonna do this one because I know this one. I know this one. Oh. It's Captain Ray Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yay.
What's that?
Oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, what's that?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is like the super popular sitcom on Fox. Captain Holt is the captain of the 99th precinct in Brooklyn, which is the setting for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. As
I'm assuming it's in Brooklyn, yeah.
For those of you who the title is just sort of ringing a bell, it's that cop show, that sort of funny cop show with Andy Samberg.
Oh!
Yes. Captain Holt is not Andy Samberg. He is Andy Samberg's boss.
Gotcha.
And he is the tough, no-nonsense, absolute straight man. Pun intended, I think.
Ba-da-ba-ba. So what you're saying is he's not straight.
He is not straight. He is. He's actually. He has in a very loving, committed relationship. I believe, actually married to a long-term partner, and a big subplot of the series is the struggles that Holt faced in his attempts to rise through the ranks of the New York Police Department as an out gay male.
That's awesome.
And not just an out gay male, but an African American outed gay male.
Yes.
So he had like a lot in the deck stacked against him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why that character is sort of the way he is, because it's like, no, I had to straight lace myself and get out there and push myself as hard as humanly possible because I was not going to fail at this.
Absolutely. And he's straight by the, I keep saying straight, but no, he's a by the books guy.
Yeah.
And it seems as though it was something that he had to do. He had to put on the facade of being a completely by the books guy in order to survive.
Yeah.
Because underneath that, he is kind of a fun guy.
Yep.
He does understand all of Peralta,
Sandberg's
character. Yeah. All of his shenanigans, and likes to get in the jabs every now and then.
And him and his husband have the most adorable corgi ever.
Yes.
There's a corgi in this show?
There's a corgi.
And
it's
gay people?
Not in it near
enough.
Oh
my God. You're speaking my language.
Yes, I highly recommend Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I'd love to check it out.
Definitely. Definitely check it out.
Pope, you look great like you're show. Chomping at the bit to talk about something.
So, coming up next.
What? There's more?
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, my God. How can we top this?
Pope, who's next?
Moving on. We have Korra from The Legend of Korra. For those who are not familiar with the character, she's the second generation, not overall, of the Avatar series. So, like, the spinoff of the original Avatar series, she comes after Aang. And next in the cycle, she was a waterbender to start with and, you know, came to master all four of the elements. Wow. Kind of barren of this. Anyway, so...
Wow, that's weird. So, like,
this is a sequel
to M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender?
Oh,
no, they burned all the copies
that
of that.
That movie doesn't
exist.
It
doesn't
exist
anymore. Yeah, so...
No, so you're
being
saying,
written off the podcast
so you're
right
saying
now.
The Lady in the Water is a prequel
I'm too. Currently showing you the door.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
Yep. That's a door.
Huh.
So, nice. Yeah, going back, technically speaking, Korra is the reincarnation of Aang. But why she plays so well into this contest is that she is, I believe, bisexual? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So falling into that spectrum makes her wonderful and great and why we all love her, as Nate would say.
I love her. She's wonderful. I don't know anything about Korra because I didn't watch it. I thought she was nice. I didn't really like the show very much, but she was cool. You know, I think she was a really cool character to make. You know, she was a good idea for a good follow up to the Avatar. You know,
and she placed rather highly in our Women in Fiction competition. Actually,
people like her for a reason.
Yeah,
they did end that series on a very strong note. That
they did.
Ended up very controversial, as I remember it.
Yeah, they did. In the end, it was sort of implied that there was a relationship between her and one of the male leads that eventually kind of fell apart, and her and one of the female leads started to hit it
Asami.
Off. Yeah, Asami. And they started to hit it off, but the audience, besides a few people, didn't think anything was coming of it, despite there being like some hints and some intimate scenes concerning the two characters. It wasn't until the
very last scene
that the two characters went off together. Holding hands, looking very, and like sort of joining hands together and looking into each other's eyes.
Yeah.
Very intimate moment that the creators then confirmed to be, no, that's them together. They're in a relationship now.
Yeah.
And that was as much as they could get away with at the time in a kids show. And I think that's really important that we do have a strong, like genuine character of pride that gets to be, like, in a children's show. We don't hide it. We didn't sweep it under the rug.
We did also have Garnet.
We did have Garnet, but Garnet wasn't there yet.
True. Garnet did come much afterward.
Right.
But only by, like, a year.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, at the time, like, I feel like this
was... Oh, no, it was a huge deal at the time.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like this was one of those moments where we opened up the door for a lot of the possibilities
that came later. Oh,
absolutely.
Korra definitely opened that door.
Yeah.
It was definitely a really big deal. It was a moment of testing what audiences would be okay with and how many horrible, angry letters you got from homophobic parents, you know? And it wasn't enough to stop Garnet from existing.
And I appreciate that Nickelodeon took that risk to say, no, we're going to let Korra be with a woman. We're going to let that be how it ends. And we're okay with it. I think that character... not only representing that element of pride, But all, like, you know, being a bisexual, but also being a incredibly multifaceted character that had to deal with so much throughout the four seasons of that show, and just being a well-rounded, like, compelling character really gives them, like, a lot in this competition. And I'm just gonna say, like, I would, like, this is the character that I, like, would throw my weight behind. Again, I just love them. I think they're fantastic.
Okay, next up we have, here's one of my favorites. Titus Andromedon from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the Netflix series. Does everybody else know Titus?
I know Titus because I've watched a few videos concerning Titus and how, and about his representation. I find Titus to be an absolutely fantastic character. Basically, because it takes a very tired trope and adds depth to the character. Mm-hmm. And, like, just from the few episodes I was able to catch, just, he's always such a joy on the show. He's brings a presence with him that is actually better than I would say the main character is able to bring. And it's not because, like, he's a side character or something like that. It's because that character and that actor bring that presence there every single time and are such, it's a joy to see them interact.
Absolutely. Mikey, his boyfriend, right?
I was talking about him with the rest of the cast in general.
His boyfriend Mikey.
Yeah, and they're just adorable.
They're a great
though.
Couple.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, perfect foils, really.
I totally understand how Titus is can be an acquired taste, how you can, you know, be turned off at first, but the more time you spend with Titus, he's just great.
Pinot Noir.
And I feel like concerning his character, you know, doubly really playing through the whole act of coming out of the closet, you know, first through himself, you know, playing out through his past, and then again through his into becoming his boyfriend, you know, Mikey. Yeah,
the whole struggling with his past back in, I forget where he was from, but small town, middle America.
Playing his entire time through high school and his early life.
Yeah.
Playing a straight man, even though he knew he was gay and was afraid to come out of the closet.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's a really nice story, which leaves us with one more entry.
And our very last character is Rose LaLonde.
I was gonna say, Nate, tell us about Homestuck.
I know about Homestuck. And Rose LaLonde is one of the four original main characters of Homestuck. She's a young girl. She's 13 years old and 15 eventually by the end of the series. And she meets an alien girl named Kanaya, who is a lesbian. And they begin flirting and they have a lot of sort of like moments. And there's a lot of LGBT characters in Homestuck, quite a few. But Rose and Kanaya have the longest sort of like relationship. And in the post-series sort of stuff that there was, a lot of information, there were some Snapchat mm-hmm. stories and things. They actually got married and had a wedding and it was beautiful. And then they started raising a bunch of babies on the new planet. And it was just fantastic. Rose is a great character that people really like for a lot of reasons. She had so many different character arcs. Homestuck is really long. It's like three times longer than War and Peace, I believe. So a lot of things happened with her. She was like a musician and she was a wizard and she could control the sun and light. And then she went grimdark and turned into a Cthulian nightmare for a while. And her parents died and everything was chaos and she wrote a bunch of fan fiction and game guides and she plays the violin and just, she has a cat. Like, Rose LaLonde goes through a ton of stuff. It's really difficult to explain anything in Homestuck, as most people are aware.
It's
sort of like, what do I hit on without having to explain for an hour how that happened? But Rose LaLonde is
story
a really fun character who's very silly and at the same time a little prim and very sarcastic. And her and Kanaya have this really great repertoire that they go through all the time. It's very fun and very cute and very sweet. And they get married and it's just fantastic. It was a great moment to see them, like, an actual canon wedding between these two women, like in the post-series stuff. That was just great. Like, get to actually see the wedding with the little dress and the little tux. I'm like, ah! It was great. It was awesome. It was such a good moment.
Was it a good moment?
It was a great moment. I love it. There I love Rose.
For those of you not in the studio, there are literally heart eyes over Nate right now.
I know.
It's adorable.
I'm floating.
I don't know how that happened. That's kind of creeping me out.
Good.
Actually.
Can you see anything right now?
No.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, sounds like a strong contender. A lot of strong contenders. By my count, eight strong contenders.
I'm ready
eight
to throw
strong
down.
Contenders. What are you ready to throw down about?
I'm everything.
Ready. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready to go at all.
You're just
it's a competition.
For a fight.
It's a competition. Of course we're
and it's
ready
got me
to
all
throw.
Hype and ready to murder.
So it's time to compete.
Yeah.
It's time to compete. Let's do this.
And time to tell us who your faves are in our new section, the post-2000s. Come tell us who your top fave is in that, in our new voting thing.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, then I believe that means that the voting is live.
Yay!
So go to where you found this podcast and click on the vote link.
And then vote.
Yeah. With the voting mechanism that is embedded into the page.
And also, if you have heart eyes like I do and you're just as excited about a character, maybe not one from this list, but any character that gets you really excited, an LGBT character, feel free to tell us about them and write us a guest article for our website.
Too shy to do that? Leave a comment.
We love those too.
Comments are super. Or write something on our Facebook groups.
Or
non-pro fan club.
Or our Patreon.
No, don't write anything on the Patreon. Just leave money.
And then you can listen to some of our bonus content.
We have good content on our Patreon. We get to talk lie.
Yeah, we get to talk about stuff like garage sales things going on, some of our things behind the scenes, as well as a conversation we had about the importance of character depth.
We've got some fun Patreon-exclusive shows, and we plan to make more.
And some awesome stuff for you regarding related to the non-pro comedy show, which happens the first Thursday of every month.
And God, is it a good show.
It is. It's a fabulous show. It's at Just Jake's in Montclair the first Thursday of every month. Come out and check it out if you're in the area. If you're not in the area, buy a plane ticket from China, from Siberia, from wherever you are, buy a ticket to China or Siberia, then buy a ticket from there to Montclair, New Jersey.
Yeah, I can't go
which
there.
Which probably has an airport, I think. But get to Just Jake's in Montclair.
Definitely do all of those things, or at least one of those things.
Exactly.
Yes.
But anyway, thank you all very much for joining us here tonight. Thank you very much for voting in our MV Pride competition. Hopefully your favorite character gets the win, but they're only going to win if you vote for them. So get out there, vote, and
tell your friends.
Yep. Share on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch.
Start that campaign for your fave. Make sure everybody knows to vote for that one.
Yep. God. Good night, everybody.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.